This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Stop whopping me!
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, it's time. I hope you guys don't mind. Do you mind? Like, for this 3 o'clock hour, I'd really like to do this. You okay?
Sure. Oh, boy. We're drinking early, Larry.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Larry, what time did you wake up? Did you wake up like 3:30 and wake up your family so you could run downstairs and open all the presents?
It is Christmas Day in this house, that's for sure. I'm fired up. My kids are fired up. Wife not as fired up for the draft, believe it or not. She's not as into it.
I will also say this. You sent out a tweet about, let's see, it's about 2.5 hours ago. And and it says some quick draft thoughts. And so I cut and paste the whole tweet into a Word doc so I could count the words. 225 words. These are not quick draft thoughts. This is a draft essay that you wrote, Larry.
You know, I have extensive thoughts. Because Mr. Musk has given me the extra characters, I feel like I got to use them.
That's nice of him. You started off by saying, I hope San Francisco keeps Ayuk. Why do you feel that way?
Because he's their best wide receiver. They're inside their Super Bowl window. He operates expertly in the middle of the field. His best football's ahead of him. They've gone through the, you know, there's growing pains, as we all know, with many young receivers. They've gone through that with him. And now they're ready to get his best football. And to me, it would be unfortunate to see him walk. But I do understand that it's a cap sport. You're going to be paying Purdy, I think, north of $50 million in a year. And they're a run-first team, you know. So I'm not sure if it really makes sense to pay him and Debo. I don't know that you can move Debo. There's new Diana Rossini rumors that they're shopping Debo today, which goes totally against what Debo was told by the team, that he would not be dealt before, during, or after this year's draft. But who knows? Maybe everything's in play. I'll say this, guys. Last year I asked John Lynch about Bosa. I said, John, is there any chance that Bosa gets traded? And before I could even get the question out, he's like, absolutely not. Nope, that puts an end to that.
Yep.
He stopped well short of that this time. I mean, as soon as Mayoko asked him on Monday, have you given his agent permission to seek trades? He's like, oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
He shut it down right there. So to me, that was an indication that the answer to that question is yes, we have given his agent license to go shop other teams. And clearly, when you look around the league and what's being talked about over the last 48 hours, it's clear that he's out there and can be had, and Silver's reporting was pretty on point.
And if he is shopped, the idea would be to move up from 31 to fill in the blank. And I know that Diana had the thought to move into the top 10, and I'm looking at your quote-unquote quick draft thoughts, and you talk about moving up to 17. Would it be there to draft a lineman, in your opinion, and wait to get a receiver in the second round in a draft that looks to be pretty deep with receivers?
Well, I'll say this, Dibs. You know, if you went and did the breakdown on the Super Bowl 58, right, and did the whole, you know, autopsy, if you will, football autopsy, I think that you'd find that the Niners, I think, lost mostly because of L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie and how great they were against the Niner receivers. And I think that's a lasting memory. I mean, we just saw Kyle pick up Trent Taylor the other day. Well, I think he may have something tells me Kyle's watched that video a few times, let's just say that. And I think he's learned. So I personally think that the target on a trade-up is Quinyon Mitchell. And I know that's not a name that you're hearing a lot of, but Lynch referenced that, you know, this could be about this year, but it could also be about next year. Can they pay Mooney Ward? Can they pay Lenore? Can they pay both? I think they really want that dominant corner, and I think Quinyon Mitchell is one of the cleanest prospects. I mean, he had 4 picks in a game. He's an awesome man-to-man corner. Then he went to the combine. He was an incredible tester. So I just think that he could be the target if they trade up into the middle of the first round. If they're trading into the top 10, then I got to think it's either for J.C. Latham or Taliese Fuguaga from Oregon State, one of the two premier offensive tackles.
Larry, I think that, you know, don't hate that idea at all as far as attacking the defensive backfield, but let's back up for a second and talk about the actual team as it stands now. If Brandon Ayuk's not on it, even if they were to get one of these hot shot receiver prospects, you know that it takes a minute, especially in Kyle Shanahan's system. If Brandon Ayuk's not on this team, how is the receiving core viable enough this coming season?
Yeah, I mean, Mark, I listened to you guys yesterday driving back, and you were making this point, and I understand it. You know, they'd have to make do, right? Well, how would they do it? You know, they would still have Debo. They would still have Jennings. Tyler Boyd is still out there in free agency. There are a couple of really polished receivers that could help them in this draft, including Ladd McConkey, who could be their pick at 31. He could be their pick if they trade down from 31 with the Commanders into the high second round. I think he's really polished, guys. He's really ready to go. To me, he looks a lot like Cooper Kupp. You know, I saw Greg Cosell did a whole breakdown on him. He's in love with him. I think McConkey grows on you. I've got some durability concerns about him because he isn't the biggest guy, but man, played the big conference, ran incredible times. When you watch the film, he's an outstanding, refined route runner who can play at different tempos. He's kind of like I hate to put the label on him, but he's kind of like a Cooper Kupp 2.0 type guy. So I think he's ready to roll. Malik Washington from Virginia, ready to roll. And there's a couple other receivers that are pretty refined. It wouldn't be Ayuk, but if this isn't the Niners, if they move Ayuk, it's not because they don't like him or appreciate him or want him. It's because they're paying their quarterback $50 million and they're looking for cap relief. And I personally, if you're asking me my thoughts on it, I think that the Niners know what Ayuk's camp wants. And Ayuk knows where the Niners are, and I think they're at an impasse. And I think that the agent and Lynch have a good relationship, and the agent pushed back on the shopping rumors because I think he's trying to do Lynch a solid and help him maintain leverage. He knows they're only going to trade him. He's only going to get his top price if he's traded, most likely. They're only going to be able to trade him if Lynch gets his price. So it makes sense that the agent and Lynch would work into cahoots to try to make it seem like the Niners have total leverage here. When do they? You know, it sounds like he's far outpriced himself from their budget, from afar looking at it.
And you look at the other big contracts that are bound to come up with Jefferson and also with CeeDee Lamb, and if his contract comes after those, his price might go up, even though he's not as good as those two guys. The top of the market being higher than what it is now might affect what price he's asking for or what price they're willing to pay. If this does go down, Larry, would you expect it to have to happen today as far as the Niners then either moving up in the first round by trading Brandon Ayuk or getting an additional first-round pick? Do you think that after Thursday in the opening round, can Niner fans breathe easy, or could this be a day-two deal as well?
Well, I mean, it's always possible it could be a day-two deal, but I still think we would probably, You know, I think there's a very good chance 49ers make no picks tonight, that they get to 31. You know, there are teams that might want to trade up for Penix or Nix if they're still on the board. There's also a hot report today that the Commanders badly want one of the top tackles to pair with most likely Jaden Daniels, who I think they'll take at two. And they, you know, the Niners would be a prime category or a prime target to trade up into the back of the first round. Could that trade be grown to include players and picks? I mean, the Commanders have a bevy of picks inside the top 100, and I think they've got five inside the top 50. You know, if they traded 36 and 40 and something in the third round, I mean, and players, I mean, you got to remember it's a new regime there, so there's could be some high picks from previous regimes, guys like Emmanuel Forbes and Jahan Dotson that maybe the last regime liked, but maybe Adam Peters and the new regime aren't as wed to. So that happens a lot. Could you see a deal involving them? Could the Niners throw Ambry Thomas to them in that deal? Could Ayuk be in that deal? So I think there's a possibility of a bonanza trade, I think, between the Niners and Commanders at the end of the first round tonight. And then as far as tomorrow, I think once the first round goes, I don't see the Niners trading Ayuk for second round picks, but you know, it really depends how, what kind of number he wants. I mean, let's just say this, if they kept him and made him sit there, he could walk at the end of the year, they'd get a compensatory third round pick. So if they really can't afford him and have already crossed that bridge, I guess any package that's better than the compensatory pick might be something that could be attractive to them. A lot of people say, hey, just let them sit and wait and, you know, make them wait. They're not going to do that. They're not going to sit there and say, you know, we have you under contract and play super hardball. I think they're going to deal with this, you know, tonight or this weekend.
Larry Kruger with us, Willard and Dibs. It's draft day, 95-7 the game. We are breaking all of it down, and there are rumors running everywhere with regard to what the Niners are going to do. 31st pick right now, but reports that phone calls are being made with both Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel's name getting tossed around. Larry, in that tweet that I referenced earlier, you said, big fear is that the Rams or Seahawks end up with Michael Penix. Why is that scary to you?
Because he's the best quarterback in this draft. I mean, and there's no doubt in my mind. He's got the biggest arm. He's got 11-inch hands. He can flick it. He's got a laser. I mean, we're talking about a Joe Flacco. This guy's arm makes Mahomes' arm look like nothing. I mean, this guy's got a huge arm. He was the best quarterback in Indy. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the country the last couple of years. I mean, I'm a huge Michael Penix fan. I mean, I saw him last year on a Thursday night game with like 40-mile-an-hour winds up in Seattle, and the quarterback that they were going against, they almost couldn't throw it at all. They just like ran the ball because the wind was so great. This guy was just throwing lasers that cut right through that wind. So, I mean, he throws it the best of all these guys, and he had a whale of a career. If he didn't have some injury concerns, I think he would be much more of a slam dunk. I'm a big, big Penix fan.
Well, clearly, but can we back up? I'd like you to say that again and make sure everyone heard. If you're distracted by someone in your car or if the boss is talking to you, tell him to shut up, because Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, all of that. Say that again, Larry.
Penix is the best quarterback in this draft, and history will show that over time.
And this from a man who saw Brock Purdy coming before virtually anybody else. How much would you be concerned, though, Larry, about not only the age? I think he'd be the second oldest first-round quarterback ever drafted, but the fact that he's had major injuries throughout his career, including two ACL injuries.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I mean, he's had major injuries, which is part of his story, right, which is probably a part of the reason. But he's proven over the last couple of years that he's healthy. And he's played. And now the big concern is, to me, is not the injuries, Dibs. It's the fact that he did play behind a very good offensive line at Washington, and there's a lot of people, including Dave Softy Mahler, that believe that that line made him look good. Other people feel that Adunze and McMillan, you know, having those receivers, Westover, the tight end, made him really look good. I mean, there's no question he had a great surrounding cast. But, I mean, don't ignore the obvious. I mean, Caleb Williams and Penix played in the same conference this year. SC's got a ton of talent as well. Penix won all the games. SC was disappointing. Penix wound up in the national championship game. Then Penix wasn't afraid at all to go to Indy and throw. He was the best quarterback in Indy. He threw the ball better than any of the other prospects. So, you know, they played the same conference against the same competition. I don't think Caleb has talent. I think Caleb does have talent, but I just think Penix has a bigger arm. He's got mobility. I think it's important to him. I like Penix a lot. I like him more than Nix. I like him more than Daniels, May. I like him the most of these guys.
How many QBs do you think come off the board tonight, and how many of them do you think will pan out?
I think 6 come off the board tonight, and I think 2 of them will pan out, probably. And my 2 that I think would pan out, as far as when I say pan out, I mean, all these guys will be in the league. But as far as special, I think the best that I've seen out of these guys is Daniels from LSU and Penix. I mean, Daniels wasn't good at ASU, but Daniels the last couple of years now, was it Neighbors and Thomas Jr.? That helped. But, I mean, the way he throws with touch and timing, the way he moves, I think Jaden Daniels is pretty exciting prospect.
While we're in the quarterback sphere, who do you think that the Niners would look at late in the draft, a la Brock Purdy, as far as just taking a quarterback? It feels like with all the picks they have, 10 picks in all, they might just take a shot at somebody. Do you have a late round sleeper for the Niners at QB?
I absolutely do. You know I do.
That's my guy.
You came to the right place. These are not the droids you're looking for. No.
Thank you.
No, Austin Reed from Western Kentucky is a really great prospect.
Yeah.
Why? Because he was the quarterback for Malachi Corley there at Western Kentucky. He was a lacrosse player who started playing football, and he supposedly is just a film junkie. He's a 4.4 GPA. If you see him interviewed, he reminds you a lot of Brock Purdy with the yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, aw, shucks. You know, he's got that thing down. He's a great, he's thought to be an amazing competitor who lives to watch film, is super bright, and he's also kind of like Purdy. He's 6'1", 225, doesn't quite have what the arm that NFL teams are looking for. But he processes what he sees at the line of scrimmage. The ball comes out on time. Very productive player for the Hilltoppers. That's the guy for me on day 3, Austin Reed.
Larry Kruger with us, Willard and Dibbs, draft day. And we're spending the whole hour talking this whole thing out. Can I ask more of a sort of a feel question?
Never mind.
Back to Dibs. No. Like,
great question, Dibs.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking. Every single, you said you hope Brandon stays. I hope Brandon stays. Every reporter all week long has sort of hemmed and hawed but guessed that Brandon will probably stay. Yet the buzz of the day sort of makes it feel like people are now expecting at least something large to happen. This is an up-to-the-minute question. Right now, do you feel like something big is about to happen for the 49ers or not?
I do. I absolutely do. I just think they're at a crossroads. I think they're at an impasse. I don't think they want to pay this receiver $30 million, and it's a deep receiver draft, and I think that they want, you know, the talk is that they're shopping him, but they have an enormously high price. And I understand that because he's an enormously great player. But I just think that their cap situation is, you know, there's other receivers that if they wanted to align the contract with Devontae Smith, they could have gotten it done by now. And I just think that they're at an impasse. I think they respect Brandon. I think they like Brandon. I think Brandon respects them and likes them. But I think that they're looking at a team that needs to build a wall in front of Brock Purdy. They need to get a number one type player in their secondary, a true alpha corner or alpha safety or both. And they still need to replenish their defensive line. They have some needs here. So and it's a deep receiver draft with some guys with some polish, and you also have guys like Tyler Boyd sitting out there that you could sign. Tyler Boyd is no slouch. I mean, the Niners couldn't cover him when the Bengals rolled in earlier this year. So I think they love Ayuk, but I think that they have a high price tag for him, and I think there's enough desperate teams. You know, Trent Baalke's fired at the end of the year if Jacksonville doesn't make the playoffs. He's terrible at picking receivers. He drafted A.J. Jenkins. You think he wants to roll the dice on a receiver? He's a survivor in this league. So to me, he's going to prioritize his job security over what's best for the Jags. I think Jacksonville will be ready to move. I think Ballard and Lynch have gotten together. I think Ballard is desperate for a receiver for his young quarterback, Anthony Richardson. I think they're, you know, could show some desperation. And then you got to remember Adam Peters is sitting there, and I think Peters, you know, from what I've been told, guys, Bob Myers went there to rapidly get them from where they're playing now into a new stadium. And that's going to up the value of that franchise. So they're on no five-year plan. They're in a rush. And I think Ayuk, you know, to the Commanders also makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you mentioned Indy. They're at 15. Jacksonville is at 17. And the Commanders with those two top of the second round picks, that'd be interesting if the Niners could somehow keep their first round pick and maybe pick up both those seconds or do a second round swap of some sort. What about Buffalo, a team in desperate need of a receiver sitting at 28th in the first round? Would you think they might be a candidate for Ayuk in a trade?
No question. The only question is, does Lynch and Shanahan put Buffalo in that category with Kansas City? It's like Kansas City, I'm sure, would love to have Ayuk. Do you want to move him there? I mean, that's like Charles Haley did the Cowboys. I don't know if you want to relive that. And Buffalo's right in that window as well. So, you know, and then also Buffalo's got the 28th pick in round one. You know, isn't Ayuk worth more than the 28th pick? You know, so I don't know what the ask would be from the Niners. The Jacksonville one makes sense to me because I think you could get Walker Little, who's a Stanford guy, who's their backup left tackle, who can play left tackle and right tackle. He's only 25 or 26. He was a relatively high pick. He was a blue-chip prospect at Stanford. I think it's reasonable to think that Lynch may like him. If you could somehow get Jacksonville's pick and Walker Little and maybe a day three pick, maybe the Niners would pull the trigger on that. It would give them some protection this year with a swing tackle for McKivitz or maybe it would make McKivitz the swing tackle and Little would play right tackle. But I could definitely see that being a marriage because Little's got talent and he's sitting number two on Jacksonville's depth chart.
Larry, it's obvious in listening to you every year that you love young people. this is very obvious. And I'm not saying that I don't. I dig the draft, but I'm having a problem with it this year. And this is my question. The fact that the Niners are in such a window, just nose hairs away from winning the Super Bowl, followed by being the favorite again this year, in your opinion, how does that affect the way they behave tonight?
I think if they trade up for a lineman, I mean, if they trade up, it's got to be for somebody that's going to play. You know what I mean? It can't be you're trading up for a tackle that's going to sit the bench for a year. You have to believe that they're plug-and-play type players, right? So that's why I mentioned Quinyon Mitchell, because Mitchell is just, you could put him in there day one, opposite Mooney, and now you've got three corners with Lenore and Mooney and Mitchell that would really be exciting. I just think that they can't go for anybody who's in any way a project or anybody who's going to take time. And then it also, you know, Diana Rossini is reporting that Debo, who's been promised that he wouldn't be traded before, during, or after this draft, according to other reports over the last month or so, now she's saying that he may get moved today in an attempt to move into the top 10. I just think that, I don't know if you saw Belichick with Mac on the McAfee show last week, but he basically was like, hey, history shows and the stats show that drafting a quarterback or a receiver in the first round is truly a 50-50 proposition. So, man, I mean, that's what's so scary about moving Ayuk and the idea that you may try to replace him with some receiver that you draft. you know, it's very hit and miss. And even if you hit, like the Niners hit with Jerry Rice, it didn't necessarily really show itself until that second year. So do the Niners want to waste a year, you know, coaching up a talented young receiver? I mean, Brian Thomas is a better prospect on paper today coming out of LSU than Ayuk was coming out of ASU. At the same point, he's a better prospect, but it doesn't mean he's going to play better this year. In fact, it's very unlikely that he's going to play better this year.
Or ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, you know, the one thing about trading known quantities for draft picks is I think in some ways you got to go 2-for-1, or you got to get, you know, multiple picks for, you have to be multiple ones, but it's got to be multiple picks because, like, you knew DeForest Buckner was good and you traded him for Javon Kinlaw, who you hoped would be a DeForest Buckner. And there's a miss rate to these draft choices. And we're all excited about it. The thing's on TV. But if you've ever done the due diligence, and I have gone back and done some of the math on the draft, most of these guys are going to bust. I mean, not most, but a big percentage of the draft choices are going to bust. The draft is about identifying false favorites. Every guy in this freaking draft is the best guy in his college team. They're all Americans. They're this, they're that. They run great. Everybody's going to be excited by who they pick. But in reality, there's a huge bust rate to this thing. So if you're trading a known, like a Buckner or an Ayuk, for an unknown, I think you got to get multiple, you know, bites of the apple as far as that unknown. Otherwise, I think the odds are against that you're going to be able to replace a great player with another great player.
Great stuff. We're not done yet. Larry's going to hang with us for the entire 3 o'clock hour. Stay right where you are. This is absolutely just dripping with intrigue. It is draft day. We've got you covered in every angle. Draft night on the game is coming when we're done as well at 6. That's Mark Grandy, Evan Gidding, Sterling Bennett, all getting together at 6 o'clock to take you all the way up to and through the 49ers pick and then get your reaction. Draft night tonight at 6 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game. But we're talking draft night with our buddy Larry Kruger, and we're not done yet. Much more ahead on Willard and Dibs.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, I'm laughing because Larry fell off Zoom and now he's not answering, which is a classic thing to do whenever something goes into the vortex. It's like when you lose a call because you're driving across a bridge here in the Bay Area, you call that person back, go straight to voicemail.
Stop.
Because they're in the vortex.
Yeah.
Larry's got to get out of the vortex.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get him back on here because I got 1,000 more questions. I'd like to ask him, in fact, the one that you and I were batting back and forth right before he came on.
Hypotheticals.
Which is, why do we know so much about what the Niners are seemingly doing right now or thinking about? Why is this being sent to reporters in a public space? Now, they could be getting it from agents, they could be getting it from other GMs, but it seems like the 49ers are very willing to kind of share where they're at right now, and I want to know in what way that benefits them.
Yeah.
Like, why is that happening?
Well, let's ask him right now, because he's rejoined us.
Larry is back.
Our very own Larry Krueger. Two earbuds, one man, and
two buds
inside
this show.
His ears.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the question, Larry, but it's really to sum up Mark's meandering quandary is query, actually. Why are we finding out about all of these reports about the Niners' activity about Brandon Ayuk and now Deebo Samuel as well?
Yeah, like why do the Niners benefit? Why would they want this out?
Well, I just think that when you get into what we're about to go through here, which is like a, you know, a gigantic league-wide conference call, you know, you can play your cards close to the vest, but you have to, as the thing gets closer, you know, do a canvassing of the league, and any number of people could be talking and whispering to the Diana Rossinis of the world and ESPN and NFL Network, and I just think it's a very difficult thing to keep things quiet when you're actually entertaining trade talks. So I think, you know, I would say this, I believe the smoke, you know, when they say that they're looking, they're talking to teams trying to get into the top 10. I bet you they are, you know, when they're talking about, you know, any number of teams, John admitted that there were a bunch of teams that were showing interest in Brandon Ayuk. He's a very coveted player and especially on a night like tonight where you start to really get close to pulling the trigger on picking one of these players, you start to assess the risk factor. And then a guy like Ayuk, who there's very little risk, right, in trading for Ayuk, you pretty much know what you're going to get, becomes more attractive. And I think the Niners are keenly aware of that, and I think that they're kind of waiting. And Lynch made it perfectly clear that, you know, the key to being good on draft day is you got to be nimble and you got to be able to adjust to stuff on the fly. And I think they're waiting to see if somebody blinks at their high asking price for Brandon.
Especially if it's one of their, quote, gold helmet prospects, right? So if they're in a spot where one of their gold helmet guys that they really love is still on the board with a team that maybe is one that they have targeted, is interested with Brandon Ayuk, do you think it could be that simple that when that team gets on the clock, like Indianapolis or Jacksonville, and one of the players that they love is still there, would they be then more motivated to do something bold?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt, Dibs. And not only that, I'll go further than that. I don't think they'll pull the trigger unless they had a player that they highly covet there on the board. And I think that's part of the reason they don't want to do this trade, you know, even this afternoon, if there is a trade on the table, because they want to see who's on the board. I mean, we've been speculating. The NFL Network has a mock draft every 15 seconds, so they're speculating constantly. But it's all just speculation. And I guarantee you, the one thing that we can say definitively is that if we were privy to be able to walk into every team's war room, what you'd find is that these boards are not the same. They're different, and in some cases, they're dramatically different. So it's all guesswork as to, you know, where these players are going to go and who's going to fall. I mean, give you an example. The UCLA pass rusher is a tremendous player. He's probably a top five, top eight type player, but he's had a neck injury. He's had multiple injuries, and there's a good chance that he falls tonight just simply because of the medicals. I heard a buddy of mine told me that they don't have Latu on their board in the first two rounds because they view him as a medical risk. So that, to me, is really interesting. So, I mean, could a guy like that fall out of the first round because of medical situations? Guys fall for any number of perceived slights, or sometimes, like, Tavondre Sweat had a DUI in the last week. He's projected to be a late first, second-round pick, maybe mid-second. He may fall into day three now. So all these boards are quite a bit different.
Larry Krueger joining us on Willard and Dibs talking draft day, and we are counting down, in fact, an hour and 20 minutes away from the start of the actual event, and Dibs and I will have you for the first hour of the actual draft, and then our team of Mark Grandy and Evan Giddings and Sterling Bennett will take over there at 6 o'clock and take you through the evening and the whole first round tonight. Larry, it's clear you think it's on the table that the Niners get a higher first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk. What do you make of Deebo Samuel entering into these conversations today, and what might they net for him?
Less, but
sure.
Here's the thing, too. It's like people have been debating, well, you know, they should move Deebo instead of Ayuk. You know, I think it's time for Niner fans to come to grips with the reality that they're paying Brock Purdy most likely 50 times what he's going to make this year in the future on a big contract. So I don't know that either receiver is really safe short-term or long-term. They both could be sacrificed. You know, why? Because receivers are thought to be easier to get. The last four or five drafts, the receiver classes have been exceptionally deep. Teams are playing the spread in the college level now, so you're seeing many, many more receivers, viable for the draft every year. And there's good receivers still in the free agent market, a couple at least. So I think that, you know, the whole, well, should they have to move off from Deebo or Ayuk? Guys, when push comes to shove, they may have to move off of both. So, and then I think there are teams that really highly covet Deebo. I think Shanahan really has a high thought of Deebo. From what I was told, Deebo was promised that he was not going to be moved before, during, or after the draft.
Right.
So to see Diana Rossini throw that out there is surprising. But there may be a team in the top 10 that, Deebo is a unique player. He's almost like a one of one. So if you love his skill set and believe that his skill set is something you want to have on your team, you know, maybe there's a team, all it takes is one team to say, hey, we got to have that player, and that player moves. So there might be some cachet to Deebo that we're unaware of here.
And does that also come from the fact that it seems like more teams are starting to incorporate some of the Shanahan stuff in their offense, whether it's the pre-snap motion or, you know, the jet sweep, for example? Not that he invented it, but it seems like it's more emulated now than ever in the NFL.
Well, I mean, Dibs, I mean, the NFL is more chunk yardage plays than ever before. It's not about 13 play drives. It's about quick strikes, and it's about mismatches and isolating guys in coverage and getting the matchup that you want. And in Deebo's case, I'm sure there's a lot of people looking at the 49ers and the success they've had. Even though they haven't won the Super Bowl, they've been in the conference championship game, and then looked at Deebo and said, man, I'd love to have something like that. You know, I'd love to have a guy, a receiver that can create dynamic plays that we don't have to rely on our quarterback. And in bad weather, we can hand it to him on a toss sweep or an end around, and he can create those chunk yardage plays that, you know, every team's covet. So, I just think that when, you know, we have him here, so we see some of the downsides, the injuries, and, you know, he puts on weight sometimes as the season goes on, and sometimes he hasn't been the most dynamic. But other people see, man, that's a unique weapon that, it's hard to replicate. And so maybe there's a team out there that has put a high price tag on him and really covets him, maybe. And that might be to the Niners' benefit. I'll say this, though. If you do covet him, you're going to take on 2 years of big money, I think close to $40 million in contract obligations there. So, I think maybe the 49ers might view it as a gift, to be honest, if somebody gave them a high asset. I would say Deebo's worth like a third-round pick this year, and maybe a fifth-round pick or a sixth-round pick next year. But if you paired him with your pick, could you move into the top 10 if the team coveted him? Maybe. It's possible.
Larry, can I ask you about my draft crush?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
please.
All right.
I know who it is.
Yes. Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky. He's thick, Larry. He's got a base, and he's the king of yak. Could he be the next Deebo if there's no Deebo?
Absolutely. And I think that would be like if they got they took him at 31, more likely than not, maybe in round two, or maybe in a trade back scenario, or if they did deal with the Commanders and got those multiple twos from the Commanders, I could see them using one of those picks on Corley. Supposedly a large Niner contingent went out to Western Kentucky to look at Corley. Now, he's not Deebo, Okay, so like for those of you saying, oh, he's Debo. He's not Debo. He's a poor man's Debo. He runs through arms tackles. He's good run after the catch. Football's really important to the guy. He's more he's a kind of a running back receiver, but he's not 220. He's more like 210, 215. He's kind of a less powerful version of Debo.
Who would you say then in this draft is the, quote, poor man's Brandon Ayuk? Is it Malik Nabers out of LSU? Is it somebody they could attain at 31? Or to get somebody who could approximate Ayuk, would they have to move up in the first round?
Yeah, you know, Ayuk is so interesting. The poor man's Ayuk, I mean, I think I would say it's, I mean, I don't know if he's a poor man's Ayuk. He might be better than Ayuk, but Brian Thomas is the guy that reminds me a lot of Ayuk. Just that he runs across the middle with that without fear, long arms, plays fast, big playmaker, unafraid. You know, there's a lot that he can catch it short and take it the distance. He reminds me a lot of Ayuk, more so than anybody. I also love, Xavier Leggett, I'm not sure the pronunciation on that, but the South Carolina receiver who's, you know, he's kind of like an A.J. Brown. He's maybe a little bit bigger than Ayuk heavy-wise, but, I mean, he runs in the 4.3s, run after the catch, only had the one big year this year, but, you know, he played in a top conference, he tested incredible. Every time you see him, he doesn't create tons of separation on his route, but he creates an enormous separation as soon as he catches the ball.
Larry Krueger with us here on Willard and Dibbs as we count down to the draft, which is starting in a little bit over an hour. Hey, could I have you clarify an answer you gave us about a half hour ago? Because you said that even though everyone's sort of slanting toward Brandon Staes, you said we've reached a point where you do think something big is about to happen, but I didn't necessarily pin you down on what. Do you think that Brandon Ayuk is going to be traded tonight?
I kind of do. I mean, I was hoping I was wrong, but it just seems like why? Because I think that even though the Niners have put a high price tag on him, I think there's, you know, what he when you factor in the failure rate of rookie wide receivers, the nervousness of executives, and the talk from Silver's article that they may be willing to take a high second and a player or a high second and a package of picks. And then you got the Commanders there with two high second picks. I think I was talking to the Niners announcer the other day, who basically said that he didn't think that Washington was a good fit because they already have Scary Terry McLaurin. But I just think Washington is in a rush to get better right away, and Ayuk helps them get better, and they've got, you know, a number of picks that could be very attractive to the 49ers. So yeah, I do think Ayuk gets moved, and I'm not wishing for it, because it seems like, how do you get better by moving your best receiver inside your championship window?
There you go.
But, like, you know, but here's the thing. Brock Purdy has had two different opportunities to talk about Brandon in the last couple weeks with reporters, and he has talked about him in past tense. And to me, when you talk about somebody in past tense, that means that you're, you know, it's like, go look at those quotes. It's like, you know, Brandon has meant a lot to me, and it's amazing what he's done for me. It's like, a lot of it seems kind of like, you know, he's saying things like Brandon's out of there.
Well, he
was asked about Brandon the other day, and he finished his answer by saying, I have confidence in John and Kyle to find the right pieces to put around me. And that was the question he was asked about Brandon Ayuk. I mean, if he really, you know, was just absolutely believed that Ayuk was going to be there, he'd be like, hey, you know what? This is just business. It's all going to get done. That's my number one guy. I need him to survive. You know, whatever. He's not saying any of those things. He's like, I'm not getting involved. I've got confidence in John and Kyle that they'll find the right pieces to the puzzle for our offense. You know, to me, it sounds like he's moving.
Well, Larry, what about the way Brandon has behaved? This is something I was really thinking about today, because, as you know, all the particulars in this case know more than we do. And I can't get out of my mind the fact that Brandon, his girl, his brother, there's been so much that's gone out on social media. None of it's been positive at all. And this started literally moments after they lost in the Super Bowl, where they were all predicting that Brandon would be gone. Why would that be?
Yeah, I mean, if you study the history of wide receivers in the NFL, they typically only get that one big deal. And he wants to get his money. And it's already come out that, you know, I think Schefter had it about 3 weeks ago. If it comes, he wants to be a Niner, all things being equal. He wants that big deal. But he wants the big deal more than he wants to be a Niner. And maybe that's incorrect reporting, but that's what's being reported. So the other thing, it's like he's sitting there with Jaden Daniels 5 days ago going, 5 days from now, there's going to be fireworks. I think Daniels is going two to the Commanders, and I think they're going to try to get Ayuk there, and they've got plenty of arsenal of picks and players to make it happen. And I just, you know, obviously Lynch and Peters, there's a trust there, so it's not hard for them to get on the same page. If you ask me bet on it, I would say Jaden Daniels goes two to the Commanders, and his number one receiver is going to be Brandon Ayuk somehow, some way.
And the package would be, and the Commanders have number 36 and number 40 in the second round. The Niners would get number 36, you'd figure, and then maybe a fourth round later?
I think Brandon Ayuk is worth more than that, than the 36th pick in the fourth round. And a fourth round pick. I think, you know, the Niners would hold out for 36 and 40 and maybe even want a guy like Jahan Dotson. I could see Ambry Thomas, who's probably kind of gone, you know, as far as he can go with the Niners here, who's, you know, Peters was a big fan of his in the draft. I could see him going over there. I could see them making a deal involving multiple picks and players.
Wow.
And that involves Ayuk. I mean, it's, you know, some people don't think it's a fit, but I think from what I've heard about the Commanders, they really want to accelerate. They're not on a five-year plan. They're trying to win right away. They're trying to put butts in the seats, show some momentum, get a new stadium, get out of FedEx, and kind of rebuild the overall value of that iconic franchise, which Dan Schneider has ruined. I think that's why Bob Myers is there. So I don't think they're going to operate on a short term, on a long term level, like most, you know, first year regimes. I think they're going to be in a sprint mode, and I think that could be involved, you know, that could be directly involving Brandon Ayuk going there.
Larry, the offensive line, as we sit here today, is basically the same group. It's the same group that they had last year. Let's take the whole weekend into account, and how does the offensive line look after the weekend, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, it's absolutely is essential that they get two or three draft picks committed to this offensive line. As far as who's it going to be and what round, I mean, the common wisdom has always been if you want a top-tier tackle, you got to be in the top 20 to 25 picks. And so do they use that trade-up to get that tackle? Possibly. And then, you know, there are other – it's a very good tackle class where you're going to find some really good tackles in round two and round three. And there's, you know, there's a couple guys that I think really fit them. The Notre Dame kid, Blake Fisher, I think fits them. I think he's going to be a round two or round three guy. Javon Foster from Missouri, long arm tackle who has experience at both right and left tackle. I think he's a candidate. Garrett Greenfield from South Dakota State has like 35 starts at left tackle and 24 starts at right tackle and is very athletic and showed it at the combine. I think he could be in play. The other name is Walter Rouse, who started at Stanford, transferred to Oklahoma, allowed, I think, the lowest pass rush or pass block win rate in the, you know, he only 1.32% of all pass rushes were successful against Rouse. He played opposite Guyton at Oklahoma this year. He also was a dominating run blocker. I could see them showing a lot of interest in him on day three. So I definitely think, you know, maybe center. You know, I'm a huge fan of the West Virginia center, Zach Frazier. I wouldn't totally shock me if they took Frazier at 31. I mean, he's a dominating center who, you know, he's everything you want. I mean, he's 48-0 as a wrestler, 4.0 GPA, tough as nails. He got hurt this year. He crawled off the field instead of being put on the stretcher. You know, Baldy told me last week in a thing that I had with him that you can't have a great offensive line unless you have a great center, and that guy's a great center. So, you know, him and Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon, I think, are probably in play as well at 31. We don't talk about center a lot, but it wouldn't shock me if they went with a center at 31.
If you were to line up their first three picks by position, Larry, what are their first three positions that they're going to take off the board?
Well, I mean, how do you not go D-line when you know it's this franchise? They always go D-line. So I would say D-line, O-line, corner. In that order.
D-line, O-line, corner. Okay, but not wide receiver. Wow. Look at
no,
you.
No, I think it's an exceptionally deep wide receiver group. And, you know, I do think there's a high likelihood they wind up with Luke McCaffrey. And that's the other thing, too. It's like, you know, Lynch, you know, I think they really want to get Luke McCaffrey. I mean, and maybe they're willing to change out their wide receiver core. Daniel Jeremiah had him taking Xavier Worthy from Texas, who's just the ultimate burner, who would basically be like a better version of Danny Gray. You know, the one thing about receivers is they got to complement one another, and the Niners could use that vertical threat, and they could also use a guy like McCaffrey who could help them in the return game.
All right, Larry, you're Larry Krueger. You have now met every single person who's going to be drafted tonight. You also know all of the GMs in the league. And with that information as a backdrop, what is the absolute perfect scenario as it plays out tonight for the 49ers in your mind?
The perfect scenario is that the Jaguars say, we'll give you 17 Walker Little and a day three pick, maybe in like the fifth round for Ayuk for 17. And then at 17, you take... You know, I think their number one target is Quinyon Mitchell, just because of how clean he is as a prospect. Dominant player on the field, dominant tester, no real risk. I think they were scarred by what McDuffie and Snead did to them in the Super Bowl. They want their own McDuffie and Snead, and I think Quinyon Mitchell would be the pick at 17. Then when you come back at 31, I think there's a high likelihood they trade 31 with the Commanders, who I think want to get up for like a Tyler Guyton or a Marius Mims or, you know, a tackle to protect Jaden Daniels. And the Niners trade back and get a couple more picks and get into that second round range. And then I think they go line of scrimmage with either a center like a Zach Frazier or a defensive tackle. I think that, you know, like a Michael Hall or Luke Arororo, something like that.
Oh, there he is. There he is.
And then I think you go for your receiver at that point in round, you know, in the next go round, in the third round, and then when you're in the fourth round, in that window. And I think there's some good receivers there. Malik Washington and others, Luke McCaffrey, and there's even some day three receivers. So I think they could sign a Tyler Boyd, but, you know, Ladd McConkey, it wouldn't shock me at all if Shanahan was in love with Ladd McConkey at 31 as well. I think they trade back from 31 into that second round.
The most Larry Krueger draft answer ever. I asked you about tonight. You laid out the whole weekend. Larry, don't yell at people who try to talk to you during the draft tonight, okay?
There will be no people. I've cleared out all people.
Okay.
I put on the holiday fogger. And that gets rid of most of all insects and people.
Thanks for coming on with us, buddy.
You're the best.
Anytime, guys. Two gapper with a thick bubble.
All right.
Let's text tonight. After every pick, I want a text from you.
And just get ready for this, guys. We're just surprised that he was there.
Yeah,
and we're just absolutely tickled pink that he was there.
I love the pick.
And, I like the player.
Yeah, I love the pick. We're presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Larry Krueger in his element. And there he goes. We'll react to all of it coming up next. Take your calls on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.